neighbors and ask, hey, what about so-and-so? And what would they say about you? You know? So does this characterize your life? We need to be living for Jesus, but also, according to Galatians 2:20, we need to be living by Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Here's where so many Christians and so many churches miss it. We tend to try to do Christian things on our own power. Try to live it on our own. In reality, it just doesn't work, does it? We're powerless in and of ourselves, according to John 15:5. As we look around at where we are today as a church body and as individuals, we need to see that we have to be allowing Christ to have total control in our lives. We need Jesus, and we need him to be in control. Give him the steering wheel. Yeah? You know, and I personally don't have enough sense to know how to run this church, or even my own life, for that matter. I need his power. Now, some might say, well, that's a crutch. Yeah, okay. I'm not ashamed to say that I need Jesus to be able to make things right. I'm not ashamed to say I'm kind of crippled without him. I'll take that crutch. So we look at how we live. We also look at how we labor. Paul was striving and reaching. He was doing his best for the glory of the Lord. As we take a look at where we are today, how do we stack up as laborers? See, without individual laborers, we don't have a church here, do we? Doesn't happen. And that doesn't mean that every one of you comes up and stands behind the pulpit or teaches a Sunday school class. It might just be as much as greeting people who come and being sensitive, not talking over them, but listening and hearing their heart and praying with them or for them. Or having them over, or just being a friend. We need to see that we're laboring for the Lord. After all, our labor declares the level of our faith, according to James 2:18. And then we look at how we love. As we look at where we are individually and corporately, we need to consider just how well we're displaying and dispensing the love of God. We need to develop and always use the right kind of love. Matthew 22:36-37 says, Teacher, which is the great command, the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So we love for God. We love our fellow man. Matthew 22:38-39. And John 3:35, I'll let you read them. You could also go to 1 Corinthians 13, first eight chapters, the love chapter, right? That's how we love others. As you take a look at where you are before the Lord this morning, how would you describe your Christian life? I like in the love chapter, in the Living Bible, in verse 6, is it, I believe, says, hardly notices when others do it wrong. Well, so it doesn't matter. We don't notice when others love us wrong. But we continue love. We love. So, is it pleasing to the Lord in your relationship to your brothers and sisters in Christ, or to just others around you, even non-Christians that you know? Is there something lacking? Is there sin or other things that need to be dealt with? How would you honestly sum up your life And then what about this church? And remember, that's you. You're part of it. How do you feel that we're doing as a group of New Testament believers? And Jesse mentioned this morning that he made a comment to Gary about Sunday school and what he might do as a follow-up to the film that you watched last week. And Gary promptly said, "Oh, would you do that then?" So we have to know that maybe sometimes God gives us the idea because he wants us to fill that niche, that hole. So if you see an area in the church that feels that you feel is lacking, maybe that's God saying, so is the Lord pleased or grieved when he looks at Pacific Community Church? And again, I don't know the answers to these questions, but I do know that if there are problems at any level, God offers a way to make them right today. And by the way, no matter how big or small the church, it is my personal belief that God supplies the people to meet gifted in every way that's necessary for that church to function properly. And if somebody holds back their gift, then that part of the body is limping. Right? It's like a bicycle wheel with a couple of spokes taken out. What's it going to do? It's going to start to wobble after a while, right? So our duty is to exercise the gift of grace that he's given us. Dive in with both feet. And then third, we're going to take a look at the prize. Like in verse 14, he says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So we're partakers of a high calling. And there's just going to be a lot of scripture here. I'm going to let the scripture preach this point. We're to be partakers of a high calling. We're called from sin to salvation, right? 1 Peter 2:9. Chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ephesians 2:1-5. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But, don't you love that word? But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Amen? Hallelujah? Is that going too far? So we've been saved, we've brought from sin to salvation. We've been brought from death to life. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. There you have it. There's not a judgment. We went from strangers to God, didn't know him, adopted into his family. 1 John 3:1-3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Goes on, I believe. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And I would suggest to you that the more we see him while we're here on this earth, the more we become like him. But when we see him face to face, we will be more like him. But as we see him face to face here, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So we went from sin to salvation, from death to life, from strangers of him into God's family, and from wanderers to witnesses, speaking out for him. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel according to all creation. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And John 20:21, so Jesus said to them, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you to minister to the people at Pacific Community Church, as you minister to each other, the people in Bandon, people in your neighborhood, people you work with, people you go to school with. And then we are partakers of a holy calling. We're called to be separate from the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Now that doesn't mean that you don't go where the sinner goes. Jesus did that. But we don't partake with it, with them. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us. So don't walk with them. You can approach them to try to warn them, caution them, love them, but not walk with them in the things they do. 1 Timothy 5:22. Do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and therefore share responsibility for their sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. As born again children of God, we should be doing our best to live for the Lord, to bring honor to His name by separating ourselves from the world and the garbage that's in it. God's desire is that we grow in holiness until we resemble Him, 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And as we draw close to Him, that means, yes, we are holy. And we're also partakers of a heavenly calling. This life is a race. Talked about my grandkids and their races, but Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore, since you have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It was interesting, when we went to Boise, we actually rode up with Tom and Donna Brown, had a chance to talk with him about his running days. He ran with Steve Prefontaine, ran against him. Steve was a couple of years younger than him. But he talked about his training in high school in his last couple of years. The coach actually had them put pieces of lead in their shoes for practice to help them with their speed. But during a race, they took that lead out, right? You lay aside those encumbrances. So, in the race, sometimes we're ahead and sometimes we find ourselves left behind. Often this life becomes a struggle. One day, however, it's all going to be behind us. We'll be home with the Lord. You know, I've never talked to a person on their dying bed, and believe me, I've talked to several. I've never heard one say, you know, I wish I hadn't spent so much time serving God. I have heard them say some of the opposite. That I wish I hadn't done this or that. So hang in there, believers. Stop looking back at the past. Instead, look forward, both individually and as part of the church. It is bright and never ending. One day, we'll be with Him in a heavenly home. The hoping, the dreaming, the wishing will be over and we'll be forever home with the Lord. John 14:1-3. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. that where I am, there you may be also. Amen? So, just in wrapping this up, as we consider these truths today, where do you find yourself? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? That's the first question, I guess, we talked about. Are you living for the Lord as you should? Are you living for the future? Or are you stuck somewhere in the past? Are you pressing for the mark and reaching for the prize every day? And what about the church? Are you part of it? Are we on track? Is it all it should be? Are there spots that it could be made better? Then listen for the little tap on your shoulder. Or maybe you can even ask somebody else to say, hey, I've noticed this. Will you help me and let's figure this out? Are we effectively doing the Lord's work and will? And may I remind you this morning that God has blessed us with a great church. Amen? May I also remind you that He has big plans for us here. I really believe that. Today, I call every believer here and every member of this church family to take these looks very seriously and see where we are and where we're headed, where God wants us to be. Things are good, but they're about to get even better because you are Pacific Community Church. Let's pray. God, thank you for this church, for every single individual here that is this church. We thank you for them, Lord God. We thank you that you've called each one here, called each one to yourself, called us to honor you, called us to be your church and to be part of furthering your kingdom by our part in this body and in this community. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.